Tom?
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles. I am Maureen Enner, your Northern California connection. And Bob Lang is in our nation's capital, so I will be flying solo on today's show. Today we have Tom Del Picaro, who's running for the United States Senate here in California. Good afternoon, Tom. Are we having some technical difficulty here, which would not be all that surprising with the way things have gone this week? Hi, Tom. Can you hear us? I don't know what to do here.
Hello?
Oh,
can you hear me?
You are. Yes, and you
How
can
are
hear
you?
Me? Okay, I don't know
Thanks
what
for
the
having
heck
me on.
Happened. No, so we're going to do a restart. We're going to do a restart. We'll do a restart and I'll edit this out, but it'll be live. So, anyway, well, thanks for being with me. Bob is flying out, so I'm going to do a quick intro. Just sit back, and then I will bring you on, and the show will be great, okay? So just give me a few seconds, and ready. Good afternoon, Los Angeles. I am Maureen Enner, your Northern California connection. And Bob Lang, who's our Southern California connection, is in our nation's capital today. He's meeting with some clients, and he's actually going to be meeting with my son, who works on Capitol Hill. I'm so proud. I always talk about my children, but how great it is for me to have raised my children as a single mom, and my co-host is going to be having drinks with my son on Capitol Hill. So I'm just a little bit proud about that. And I'm excited for Bob to have that experience. So anyways, welcome to California Connection. We had a delayed or a tape show last week as I was ill. I was in the hospital with a horrible flu, and I just want to tell people, if you get sick, and especially as you're getting older, as I'm getting older, I'm 52, doesn't seem old, but pay attention to your bodies out there. When you start to not feel well, don't push yourself. Just, go to the doctor and listen to your body. Learn to listen to your body. I think that's very important. So another thing that is very important, which is probably why I got sick, are the presidential elections, and not just presidential elections, all of the elections, county, state, local, and of course, a new president, hopefully, who I don't even know what to think about for our presidency. But I think that I got so wrapped up in it. It probably gave me the flu, so I'm just going to blame it on the elections. Anyways, we have with us Tom Del Picaro, who is running for the United States Senate seat that will be vacated by Barbara Boxer. And he's going to be running against, I'm going to say, who is the front runner, who's probably the going to win the nod for the Democrats, is Kamala Harris. So he'll be running, I feel, against Kamala Harris. So, Tom, thank you for taking time out of your very busy day for joining us here at California Connection. And I do want to say that Bob was really disappointed. He really, really wanted to talk to you, but he was in flight today. So welcome to California Connection.
Thanks so much for having me on. Maybe I can come back a little bit later before the election and Bob can quiz away.
You can come back anytime. I would love to get you and Kamala Harris together. I would love to have a little bit of action with her.
I'm not sure she wants to be responsive to voters given some of the things she's been doing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, isn't that sort of the typical side of the Democrats? Isn't that their way?
Well, there's a lot of politicians. I think the main dynamic you see today is growing frustration. I wrote a book called The Divided Era about how ever larger governments which now governments a third of the economy, how it divides us because high taxes, constant regulations, and the like, and it doesn't deliver on its promises, creates a lot of frustration. I mean, who should be surprised that government programs aren't very successful? They never really are. And the more of them you are, have, the more frustration that grows. And then you put ever greater demands on the politician who make ever greater promises that they can't keep. And so it's not surprising in an era of big government that you have that big government isn't performing.
So every 4 years we hear the same rhetoric, right? Big government, lower taxes. It's always the Democrats that want to raise the taxes, give everything away. The Republicans want to be fiscally conservative, and you know they always seem to be the Republican candidate is always no new taxes, cut spending and fraud in the government, and look for better ways to create jobs. And you know it's just the same. We hear the same rhetoric every 4 years. Is that fair to say? Would you say that's a fair statement?
You know, I would say in the last 40 years that is a growing drumbeat, largely because government is becoming much bigger. And now there is two very much more distinct camps. Bernie Sanders saying raise taxes and the Republicans saying we need to get the economy going and the tax code is too much of a burden.
Mm-hmm. Well, same rhetoric for 40 years. This year, or this campaign cycle, we're seeing something totally different. Did you ever, in your wildest dreams, imagine that you, well, I mean, it's not hard to imagine Hillary Clinton, but to see somebody like Donald Trump just take the United States by storm, and somebody like Bernie Sanders getting so much attention and winning so many primaries. Did you ever think that this would happen?
Well, that's what I wrote in my book about what happens when you have sustained big government that stagnates the economy. You get ever more divided people. And when government doesn't perform and politicians are blamed, you typically get outsiders. Now, did I imagine you'd get the character, which is Donald Trump, because he's obviously bigger than life in a lot of ways and very unique. No, but there's been a lot of populists throughout history, of Williams, Jennings, Bryan, and others. I recently wrote about him in Forbes. Same kind of thing. When the economy breaks down and the politicians have failed, people look to outside people to try and fix things. Remember, that was the call for Arnold Schwarzenegger as well. The Republican Party's not doing that well. The Democrats aren't doing that well. So let's turn to an outsider and try and fix these things. But few could imagine the magnitude of a Donald Trump.
Exactly. And the skip back to the scary part that I'm getting to is we are now so disturbed. Everyone is so disturbed about what is going on, or robotic, and they just don't care, and they write that tax check, and whatever. And really, I think it's more of that. I think it's more of people just surviving, and just, yeah, I just got to do what I got to do. And for 40 years, or 50, close to 50 years, I say since JFK, people just went along like that. They just went along. And as I have done my show, I've done many shows, my own. I've been on various radio stations. Now I'm on with Bob. And we bring up topics and we bring up things. And people have come to me and they're like, I never knew that. I never heard that you could be, as soon as your baby's born in the United States, you could be a citizen. I didn't know that. I mean, honestly, we have created in the last 50 or 40 years a generation of people who just don't care, don't get it, don't want to talk about it, don't want to deal with it. And now, it's so much worse that if I put a Trump sign on my front lawn, my home, I know, would be vandalized.
Yeah, well, look, the
And I'm not supporting Trump. I'm just saying, I'm using that as an example.
Yeah. The bigger government gets, the more divided. The bigger the competition for its spoils, the bigger the competition to hand out the spoils to be the president or be a senator. And then people are agitated all the time. I mean, government, it doesn't leave you alone now. So there's this constant agitation, and the stakes are pretty high, and that's why you get these extremes. And so, yeah, I mean, people are really intense, even just among Republicans. The hatred between the Trump and the Cruz camps is remarkable. It's
right.
The greatest we've seen in a long time, and that's just a symptom of all this frustration that you talk about.
When you say the greatest of all time, do you really ever think there was this kind of divisiveness in the GOP ever?
Well, yeah. During the Civil War, there was intensity. This is one of the hatred among the Trump and the Cruz camps is certainly more significant than it's been in the television era. We've had intense periods before. Obviously, the Civil War was intense. Mm-hmm. The adoption of the Constitution proved to be very intense. The Revolution, you had brothers against brothers in the Revolution. But this particular campaign, the anger between the Cruz and the Trump and against Jeb Bush and other things, yes, it is. It has ratcheted up even more than anything over the last 20 years, in my view.
Oh, exactly. And you know, what's kind of scary is 8 years ago, we heard the same thing with Obama. Oh my gosh, this outsider, this brilliant, young, charming, you know, family man, blah, 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 blah. It's going to make all this change. And that is why I think when I hear this outsider, Bernie Sanders, you know, Donald Trump, and I think, oh my gosh, how much more outside can we bring in to keep burying us deeper in this hole?
Well, let me tell you, one measure of the intensity that you're describing is the fact that the Republicans this year had a great many good governors. Mike Pence from Indiana didn't even get in the race. Scott Walker, national hero 3-5 years ago for Republicans. I mean, Rick Perry, Rick Scott, Florida. Jeb Bush actually was a good governor. They had a lot of very good guys, but the anger towards Washington was so large that the wave crested over them as well, or broke over them as well, and took them under. And so the fact that they're turning to Trump, even though you had these other, what in traditional years would have been very capable candidates, is one measure of how intense this election cycle has been.
Right. And when we think about that, and we think about the level of, you know, the frustration and these good governors, we did, believe me, last year at this time when we launched the show, Mike Reagan was our guest, and we talked about this, about how important it is for a governor to become a president, because if they govern in their state, it's a very similar type of job. And the names that you listed were the same names that Mike Reagan, that, you know, talked about and listed. And it is because why? Why do you think these capable, is it the money? Is it the internet? Is it a generation of people who just don't want to do their homework on somebody they really did? You know, I guarantee you 99% of the citizens in this country would know who Pence is. They think he plays for the Giants, or, you know, Scott Walker. They wouldn't know. They wouldn't know. It's just, that's what's so sad. So, but anyway, let's stop talking about presidents and the federal level. You running for a state, our senator in California, which California, we say all the time, is its own, it could be its own country. So taking on the position of wanting to be a state senator representing the great state of California in D.C. is huge. It's a huge, huge undertaking, and I commend you for that because we need good people like you. Tell me what inspired you. What got you to decide that you wanted to do this?
Well, for years I've been disappointed in the Republicans' ability to talk about the economy with voters. I mean, at the end of the day, we either have a thriving private sector or we have a lowering standard of living over time. And Republicans have not been able to make the case since Reagan that the private sector is the engine of growth. We had bad presidential candidates. Our last two, Romney and especially McCain, were completely unable to do it. And we can't continue to lose the prosperity argument. That's how Bernie Sanders exists. And so my frustration related to that, my years of work writing and talking about the economy and my support for a flat tax, I thought this was a good vehicle. I think every candidate should push forth a clear idea, advance an idea as part of their campaign. So when Barbara Boxer finally decided to retire, I thought the right thing to do was to advance at a higher level for me this idea of a flat tax, because that's the victory we need to have. You know, tax code is over 74,000 pages, and that's a dead weight on
right.
the economy. It's a playground for corporate welfare and lobbyists. And so we need to reform the tax code, greatly simplify it. My flat tax is 15.5%, and get the economy moving again.
So are you're talking about a flat tax in California, or are you talking about federal?
Federal is 15.5 is my flat tax in California. It's a 6% flat tax.
Because let's let everybody know, we pay the highest taxes than anyone. New York
3.
Might be 13.3, okay? Highest gas tax than anybody else in the United States. What is our gas
one
tax
of the
right
high,
now?
One of the highest sales tax, one of the highest gas tax, one of the, you name it. We're not even that low on property tax. Even with Prop 13, I still think we're in the top 10. But what matters is overall, when I try and get people to understand related to taxes, if you have 50 little taxes that add up to more than one big tax, then that's the issue. Because people know at the end of the day how much money they have left over. And California, when you throw all these things together, is the highest tax, highest regulated, most in debt state in the world. Not in the United States. It's clearly not in the United States. But in the world, we have over $1 trillion in debt, in public debt, just us, California alone. And that's growing.
And they keep coming, and I'm not talking about the business corporations and leaders of great companies coming out and building new facilities and hiring and making the economy great. We're talking about the illegals that are coming over the border that is drowning us because those people I mentioned first, the corporations and the hard workers, they're leaving California in droves. And
yeah,
this is one of
the demographics have changed substantially over the last 15 years. We've had over 5 million taxpayers leave the state, and the influx is a different demographic. The overall income has dropped. Median income of those who left was in the 40s, and of those that are coming, it's in the 30s. That's a 20%, 25% drop, and that's actually very massive. It may not sound like a lot, but when you ripple that across the millions, it's a huge amount. And many more people, of course, are dependent on government as well. So this is a toxic brew because many of the jobs have been pushed out of California.
And now we have a new law, thank you, Jerry Brown, of $15 an hour minimum wage, which is just going to be another Carl's Jr. company that my aunt worked for their corporate offices for 27 years, but Carl's Jr. pulling out of California. Too expensive. Don't want to do business here.
No, there's no reason
Me.
To. It's not as if you can't have a corporate office you can only have in the state where there's some, you know, special resource. There isn't. And so that's why they move out. And the study came out today that the top 1% in California pay 45% of the taxes. Why should they stick around?
I was reading that. Yeah, I was reading that article.
Keep in mind that who's in the top 1% changes every year. So in any one year, let's say you reach retirement age and you sell a house that you've had for 20 years, your income spikes and you move to Arizona. So for one year in California, you make that top 1%, pay taxes on it, and leave. So it's a constant changing number at the top. It changes at the bottom as well, and it changes for the good when you have an expanding dynamic economy, but it gets more stagnant as the economy stagnates and people have a harder time leaving the bottom 20% in a slow economy than they do in a vibrant economy. And that's why economic growth is absolutely key.
Well, you know, I'm a fifth generation native San Franciscan. My grandparents came to San Francisco in 1850. So I really don't think you can get more California girl than right here from San Francisco. Moved to the East Bay when my dad couldn't stand. He was a small business owner. Couldn't stand paying the taxes to the city anymore. He moved his practice out to Danville. And, you know, I just remember it was my dad would tell me all the time, if you can't make it here, can't make it anywhere. And I was raised on that hard work, obviously, hard work ethic. And I don't think this family sitting around the dinner table anymore here in California having discussions about things that are very important, such as who's running for state senate. Those are the things that's how I was raised, with that kind of conversation as you know, growing up. That's another big concern, is what's happening to families here in California. They're not the same as when I grew up. It was, you know, I don't know. There was a time in my life where I lived in the city when my dad and mom were struggling and my dad was going to school, and we just all got along and everybody, you know, and then the busing came in and there's resegregation. Just California. My father says that California has gone downhill since the day I was born. Nothing's been,
that's,
you know,
not
1964.
Very nice. Well,
my
you know
father
what?
Raised
the country changed dramatically in the 60s. The rise of television as an instant news source, and combined with the Vietnam War, the Pentagon Papers, on and on and on, was a big changing point in American history. Before that, we were a nation that was coming together and with an identity, a strong identity in the 50s, and that identity has been changing ever since the 60s. So he's definitely right about that. But the problem today, the point we've reached today, is when you have such a stagnant economy, you have people competing with each other for jobs, and that gets testy. And when people are idle and don't have a chance to advance, and it's, you know, they lose the sense of control, that's where problems arise, and that's where we are today. And if we don't get government out of the way and let the economy grow again, these things are going to get worse. We descend into class warfare like other places before us, and none of that is good. So we've got to get back to economic growth.
And what is your plan?
Look, there isn't, you know, you talked about people say the same things every 4 years. It's a pretty simple process. If you have a 77,000-page code, if government is a third of the economy, which is taking an enormous bite from the economic apple, And whenever that occurs, you get these kind of slowdowns. You have to undo some of that. You know, California is the most regulated place in the world. The United States is the most regulated country in the world. Keep in mind, the president of Coca-Cola said it's easier to do business in China, a a communist country than America. You know why? Because the Chinese don't have a regulatory industry. They don't have constant compliance issues. Now, I'm not advocating that we should have China's pollution, but we have to have the right balance. And the tax code today is not enough, too large, and as a result, it's strangling the economy. So let people go back to work. You know, think about it. Over the last 7 years, we've tried every possible federal spending program you can imagine. Cash for clunkers, stimulus. They even tried to tell us Obamacare would lead to jobs. All not true, because government spending cannot produce sustained economic growth. So what should we be doing? Simplify the tax code, get government, pull the government back a bit, and let people bring the country back like we have before.
Well, so California, what's our corporate tax rate here in California?
Well, the combined rates for corporations in the United States is federal is the highest in the industrialized world. Only a couple of countries, one in Saudi Arabia, can you get even higher, but you have to fit into a special category for them. And then California also has high rates as well, and I think in the 8% range. So if you're a individual business owner in California, you are potentially facing, when you add in every single tax, so cell phone, gas, on and on and on, you're potentially paying about 63% of your income to one aspect of government or another. And there's no reason for people to put up with that. That's why they go to Arizona. That's why they go to Florida. They even go to Washington. They don't need to put up with losing, but only being able to retain 38% of their income.
So on the eve of today is April 15th, so the U.S. government gave us till Monday. Do you know why? I don't know why. Do you know why, Tom, why they gave us?
Yeah, there was some Emancipation Day or something like that. They do this now and then. But, yeah, people have until Monday. So there will be a lot of people furiously working this weekend with receipts in their hands.
Or drinking very hard because you have to pay the bill on Monday.
They shouldn't be paying. There's no reason to be paying accountants. They should have a simplified tax code that says if you make X amount of dollars, here's your standard deduction. Here's your deduction for your wife or for your husband. Here's your deduction for your two kids. And boom, pay a flat tax. You shouldn't have to hire an accountant.
Yeah, they said that. I read that during FDR's new Save the World deal, that the deal that he made during the Depression, that tax code was under 1,000 pages, and that's when he made his new deal. So, going back in time and looking at what's come from that, and from under 1,000 pages to, what did you say today, how many it is? 80?
At least 74,000. They're not even sure. It's so big they lose count.
Yeah. So,
and a lot of that has to do with corporate welfare and the like, because that's where all these – the average human being doesn't have a lobbyist that goes in and says, I shouldn't have to pay tax because in my special situation, I have a kid who has – this issue or this medical concern. But if you're a big corporation, you could say, look, we should have more yellow lights made in America because there's a yellow light shortage. And without yellow lights, the environment's going to be in trouble or progress is going to be slowed. So let's convince enough people in Washington that there should be a special exemption for yellow light makers. And boom, they get a special tax deduction that nobody else does. We should not have that system. We should have a neutral system which says, go ahead and make income, go ahead and deduct your expenses, but we're all on an even footing. And so the goal is for the government to foster economic growth, and the wider and larger the pie of the economy, the more money it will take in, and we can stop having a government that picks winners and losers.
Well, and speaking of jobs and our government, Social Security is the number one employer in the United States. The Social Security office, what people probably think it's some small little, office, is a huge, huge part of where our taxes go. Everybody wants to blame the military. It's the we want like if you hear the Sanders kids out there, what well, the military gets $60 trillion, or, and if you look at the
Yeah, our
pie, where are the
military's
money?
we're spending the smallest amount towards the military we have in I think it's 60 years. And the reality is that Medicare and Social Security and interest on the debt take up over half of the budget. And
Yeah,
so and it's
you're
getting worse.
talking, yeah, but you're talking to a bunch of stoned kids who are living in their parents' basement on Facebook and whatever, creating hate sites. I mean, I've looked at some of these liberal sites that people send these memes on, or and I actually went and looked at one yesterday, and it is absolutely unconscionable what these people are saying. What they are saying about Trump, Cruz, Kasich, what they are saying about Republicans in general, about how we are just murderers and rapists, and we have this hatred towards the blacks, and we want to see them all dead. And I mean, this stuff was just insane. And I thought, where is this coming from? When is it suddenly okay to verbally spout out that I hate Republicans because they're basically because they're white, or I hate Republicans because all they care about is they're paying for their Mercedes, or yes, pray. All these liberals think that conservative Republicans, women are. Won't be able to get an abortion. They'll be forced to go to the basements of these terrible doctors, and help me. I'm gonna have a seizure. Tom, just help me. Help me.
Well,
Let's
like we talked about it earlier in the, America changed from a society that extolled the virtues of production and thrift and hard work to a society today that calls for social justice and blames the producer for inequities that existed in greater size and danger than it. Before they were producing things. I mean, most of history is gross inequality between a very small ruling class, kings, and the like, and those who were doomed to relative poverty. It's only the advent of capitalism in the last couple hundred years that has produced expanding wealth that you could achieve freely. But the school systems don't teach these students this. The school systems say that it's a zero-sum game, and for one person to become rich means someone else became poor. Well, Mark
Yeah.
Zuckerberg's fabulously rich right now, and no one is poorer because Mark Zuckerberg is fabulously rich. In fact, he's employing many people, and they're making a lot of money. So it's terrible history. Our public school system's doing a disservice. And we need more people out there, which is why I'm running for U.S. Senate. You can help me at tomdell.com, TOMDEL.com. And we've got to not only reach the next generation, but we have to let them know the value of a thriving economy, and that it's not a zero-sum game. And Mark Zuckerberg can become rich, and so can you, and no one's to lose.
But he's not, he doesn't ever say that. He's very anti-capitalism, which is very strange. I mean, he's not going out there saying, speaking to college kids and high school kids, like, hey, dude, seriously, this is how I did it. Like, come on, you can do it. He's not doing that. And how come we in California, Northern California, Silicon Valley. I live not very far from it. Google has basically bought the entire Silicon Valley. They've taken over the old airfield down. I'm losing my. I can't think of the name of it, but the big airfield that was down there with the big, airplane hangars. They have bought all of that. They've bought everything. Facebook too. They bought every piece of property they can. And why are we still having this problem in California when Apple and Google and Microsoft, I mean, there's huge companies here, but I don't think they're employing white kids from California. I think they're going offshore. I mean, they have to be.
Well, look, the economy, I don't have a problem with these companies growing. The problem is, the bigger problem we face, the reality that we have a very uneven economy. 62% of America is living within two paychecks. So if you're outside the tech industry in California or perhaps Hollywood, where they're capitalists, they demand tons of money. The market will pay them to do a movie, but they don't seem to understand that they're benefiting from capitalism. And I don't see them giving away all their money religiously or communistically to help others. So, the problem for America is that our economy is so imbalanced. So many people are not doing well, and not very far from the Bay Area, just an hour's drive, and you can see some of the difficulties.
Yeah, go to Central Valley, go to Stockton, go to Modesto, Central Valley. It's very difficult. But why is it that in a state like California, where we have a Mark Zuckerberg who lives in Palo Alto, is building just, what he's building? I mean, he's building Facebook. It's like Disneyland for Facebook. And you would think that he would. It's hard for me to put together what I'm trying to say, but wouldn't you think he would be having, campus, going to college campuses and having, work at Facebook days or hiring kids that, just graduated from high school and they don't have the money to go to college? I mean, this is what I feel the Democrats are doing. They're letting the illegals come in. They're coming in by droves because we're supposed to feel sorry for them. So they're coming in, and those are the ones who are the poor, who don't have anything, who can't get food on the table. No, sorry. Those people came in illegally. They came into this country illegally. They'll do anything. That's where Mark Zuckerberg is losing the message as, hey, come work at Facebook. You'll get benefits, you'll get this, you'll get that. But he's not doing that because he's not taking care of our California residents, our kids who were born and raised here in California or in the United States. He's not doing that. Am I getting the picture? Are you getting the picture? I don't see him hiring kids to work there.
Well, I'm not actually sure about the demographics of who they hire. It's the tech industry, which requires generally a level of education different than the economy as a whole. So I'm not an expert or claim to be knowledgeable about their demographics. But again, what the big issue is, when you have a stagnant economy, people start to ask the questions you're asking. Why are you hiring people from abroad and not Americans? But when the economy is growing at around a 4% rate, you don't have these discussions because unemployment is high, wages are rising, people feel in charge of their own destiny. And so, just take the recent minimum wage hike. The minimum wage is a response to a failure of government policy. You raise minimum wage when you say people aren't making enough. When aren't they making enough? When the economy is stagnant. How did the economy become stagnant? Because government has weighted down with so many problems. I have a client who has a restaurant in the Silicon Valley. His revenues are above $2 million a year, and he's not making any money. Why is that?
Because everything's going to taxes.
Yeah, cost of business is so high. So, you know, the human experience hasn't really changed that much. I get a kick out of the Democrats saying, oh, they want the same old policies. Yes, because the laws of economics don't change because our DNA doesn't change. If you give people incentive to achieve, they will. If you rob them that incentive with high taxes, they won't. And so we have to get back to a better balance where you're providing these incentives.
So if you were to say, and that's very interesting for you to share that about your friend owning a restaurant. So if you were to say that to a screaming, stoned out 20-year-old on a college campus, if you were to say, look, I have a client who makes $2 million a year, and he doesn't have any money because he has to pay all the taxes to pay for what you guys want is free. They can't understand that concept, or they won't let it in their brain. They don't want to hear it. They're so programmed to, that guy makes $2 million. He should be giving us his money. He should be giving more money to the government. We need that. I mean, that's their thought process. It is so warped. So how do we get past that?
Well, for one thing, you got to have a constant discussion with them. The reason why they're thinking that way is because the Democrats through the education system have unlimited access to them and feed them incorrect information. That's number one. Number two, you got to talk to them in the experiences that they can understand. When I spoke at UC Berkeley, I talked to them about the issue of why is it that Apple has its factories abroad? Well, none of them wanted to admit it until one bravely in the back said it's cheaper to build things. And I said, well, is that okay? And, you know, they understand these things. You just got to be there. You got to talk to them about it and get a sense of it. Now, having said that, I asked them, why did Carl's Jr. leave? You mentioned Carl's earlier. Why did they leave California? And the kid said, those aren't good jobs. Well, they're starter jobs. What's a bad starter job? I mean, I used to work in Alaska where they filmed Deadliest Catch in the summers. That's how I paid for school. I worked hundreds of hours of pay period. I didn't care whether it was a good job or a bad.
Yeah, we all had that growing up. You went and got a job. You couldn't wait to turn 16, or you couldn't wait to get your worker's permit so you could go work where Carl's Jr. or, you know, McDonald's. And you were happier than anything when every 2 weeks you got your $112 or whatever it was, because, you know, and like I'm saying, like with Mark, California would not have had to raise the minimum wage if Mark Zuckerberg hired, and you mentioned like the level of technology experience, these engineers. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about receptionists, people that there is still a great need for kids and younger people to go out and get a job without a college degree, without having to spend $150,000 that, again, they borrowed from the government. There are plenty of jobs, I bet you, at Facebook that I could go in there and interview Zuckerberg and say, tell me about, list to me all the jobs you have that you would be willing to pay $15 an hour, pay a kid or a young person $15 an hour. I bet you it would be plenty, and California would not have had to raise the minimum wage. I mean, these companies have to start thinking about how can we make it exciting for kids to want to come and work here. How are we going to make that happen? You see what I'm saying?
Well, you know, I have a client in San Francisco who has a very different atmosphere where, you know, there's a pool table in the office. They actually have a bar. They're competing for these kids. So there are a lot of companies, and they're not hiring people on visas. There are a lot of companies that do this sort of thing. But
are they hiring kids that just graduated high school who don't have the money. See, I think we've created this whole entire generation of kids who parent, I can't get a job without a college degree. I just can't. I got to go to college. I got to go to college.
Well, for years, America has failed to promote trade schools, and that has been awful. Many jobs are unrelated to a child, don't require a college education, and we're indebting kids into which college educations when there aren't, and there never was going to be the number of jobs they were seeking. We should, as a society, be promoting more trade schools. There are going to be cars on the road and other jobs like that that need to, you know, we need to fix those cars so that we have failed in that regard, the construction trades. We have failed as a society in that regard because government has chosen to subsidize college education. And as you just pointed it out, now they have nationalized the school loan industry and creating indentured servitude in that regard.
And Obama did that in 08.
This has been going on for a while. This has been a growing issue, but the nationalization of student loans, meaning now the a normal bank doesn't have any
role in this.
No, that was a horrible decision.
Horrible, yeah. And that's probably the next bubble that's going to burst. But the point that I'm trying to make, and I'm hoping that you, I'm desperately hoping that you win the Senate and us here at California Connection and myself, we'd love to do whatever to support you, to help you, whatever you would need. I really want somebody who's going to take the message back to Washington that most of these kids that graduate high school have more technology. Their technical ability is far greater than any adult that's 40 or 50 years old. So you hand a kid an iPad that I can't figure out how to do this. They hand it back to me in 5 seconds and it's fixed. So I don't know where we're getting this idea that, you know, we need this high technology. We need, of course we do. Of course we need engineering. But not every kid. I could not pass calculus. Okay. How I became a trader, I don't know. There's so many things that these kids can do, you know, going to trade school. I mean, they used to, when I was in high school, you would go to ROP if you wanted. And that was, if you wanted to be a hairdresser, you went half day in your senior year to beauty school. So that by the time you graduated, you were a beautician. So you could go do hair. Same thing for if you wanted to work as a mechanic. They had the same thing. Those are all gone. All gone. Taken away. Are you ready to go to represent us and say these things to Washington about how we need these things that seem so easy need to be fixed? And it always seems so easy, but it never gets done.
Well, you know, we need more people who make the argument that, look, we don't need to have Washington deciding what jobs there should be. This is the problem. Government subsidized housing. We had a housing bubble and then a big bust. Government subsidizing college education. We're having a bubble and soon there'll be a bust and there's all these broke kids with student loans. So we don't need government centric. This is one of the beauties of a flat tax is that it gets away. Our current tax code suggests what's the best type of income because it penalizes the wrong type of income. And so we need to get away from Washington directing the economy. Now, there's some things that obviously Washington does that the rest can't. I mean, we do need funding for roads. We do need national defense. But we don't need Solyndra. And so we should get government out of the way. And by the way, this is going to happen within the next 20 years regardless because government's not going to be able to pay for this stuff. And all this stuff is going to go in the tank unless we restore economic growth. And that's why I have a flat tax. And that's why I'm hoping people can help me at TomDell, TomDell.com.
Well, I'm certainly, I've read all of your your stuff, your bio. I've read what you've done. Obviously, you have you were with the Republican chairman here in California for the California Republican Association. And again, we as conservative Republicans, we just have a simple message. All these social issues that in the last 10 years that have been at the forefront of all these elections, these have all been solved. They got their freedoms. They won. I'm saying all of these social agendas that bogged down all of these campaigns since 2000. And now we all have to step back, look at all of these programs, look at all of these laws that were passed, like Obamacare. Look at all of this and now think, look at the waste, look at the money, where's it going to come from? I made all these promises to get elected, and now we're in 2016, and, you know, when is the bottom going to hit? We know it's coming, but I'm just so afraid of this generation of kids coming up, these millennials, that they can't understand it. They just can't understand it. I guess they were raised on, I want to help people. I want to help the homeless. I want to help. It's just not. You want to help yourself. Get out. Listen to some of these candidates who are speaking very logical business structure. You can't spend more than what you have, and a lot of what your message is. And let's hopefully see if we can get people to let's turn this around, because we really literally are not going to have a country. And when I say that, and I spoke to a group a couple of weeks ago, and they approached me and they were like, you know, who's going to take our country? Like, how are they going to take our country? And I said, there's nobody but ourselves who are going to take this country. It is ourselves, because we have let ourselves get into this situation. And they didn't understand. They thought, like, you know, who's coming? Are the Russians just going to come and take us? Like, what are you talking about? And it's very scary out there. And another good reason, it's the reason why we do our show, Bob and I, every week. And it's another reason we have somebody like you on, because we have to try and get this message out.
Yeah, you're right. And there's no reason it has to happen in, you know, any one period of time. Civilizations do decline, but they don't have to happen in any one moment. And the reason why we're having these troubles is both economically and sociologically. I mean, if you continue to tell generation after generation that capitalists are bad and government is good, you're going to grow up kids who think government is good and capitalists are bad. That's not shocking. But as you mentioned, it's not someone else's job to replenish and renew a civilization. It's every person's job to talk to their kids, to teach them a work ethic, to let them know that you get things through earning things, and that there are no free lunches, and taxing somebody at 90-something percent, like Bernie Sanders says, you might consider. I mean, these are all values that are going to have to come from parents, because they're not coming from the schools, and we need to change our school system to get away from all of their social teaching and get back to the basics. One of the reasons why we don't have enough students to fulfill some of these jobs you're talking about, it's because we emphasize social studies instead of math. And, you know, there's zones in schools where, you know, there's free speech zones or zones where you can't, offend anyone. No, we need to get back to basics.
Yeah, you can go there and be, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
I really hope you can do it. I mentioned in my intro that my son works on Capitol Hill, he's forbidden me to tell him, you know, because he's 25 and, you know, mom doesn't know. He knows everything. Your kids will always know more than you. But in the end, at the end of the day, he calls me on his drive home and we talk. And he just says, Mom, it's just a bunch of people fighting all day long. It's like, you know, it's kind of like, just can't we all just get along?
You can ask him, you can tell him, you talk to me and ask him, why do you think there's so much fighting? And there's a simple answer, because there's a lot to fight over. Government doles out from the city council level to the federal level $6 trillion a year. That sets off an incredible competition to get the $6 trillion and an incredible competition to give out the $6 trillion. So a government that spends $6 trillion has many more divisions and partisans than a government that does $100 million, right? Because there's a lot less to fight over in the government sphere. And so this isn't some magical thing. It's not because people are suddenly bad. It's because it's human nature to go and grasp where the money is. Willie Sutton used to say famously, when asked, why do you rob banks? He said, because that's where the money is. You know why people go to government? Because that's where the money is. And how they got it is not entirely un-Willie Sutton-like in some cases.
Well, and today is the day. Today, right now, if you have an idea, a passion, an ability to just want to go and find a job. I mean, if you want to go get a lawnmower off of Craigslist and throw it in the back of your truck and start your own business. I mean, this is where you can do it. This is where you can do it here. We need leaders who are going to go to DC with that message. And that is what I feel is so important, that the message is, okay, we're going to give you guys $15 an hour. And, you know, now the feelings are going to be hurt because, you know, now there's a computer. Now what am I going to do, Mom? It's so unfair. Look what they did to us. And no, get off your butt. My parents would have ripped the computer out of the house. I would not have had a cell phone. I guarantee you that much. My father would have made sure there was a computer. But we need leaders like you who are going to go out there and bring this message to the people. And I really hope that you do that, Tom. And I really, we really do want to have you back, because my co-host, Bob Lang, who's on CNBC and writes for Jim Cramer, Bob is a brilliant man. And his big thing is paying down the debt. And we would love to have you back in a couple of weeks and talk about that, because
that'd be great.
He has great ideas, and that would be a great time. And he was, again, very sorry that we missed that he was not able to be here. So I thank you again for being on with us. Sorry about the technical problem in the beginning,
but we
got you on. And go out there and save our state. It's a great place. We all love this state. We all love this state. So go out there and make us natives proud and happy, and make it so we can still afford to live here. Thanks for joining us today on California Connection. We'll be back next Friday with another show. So everyone have a great weekend. Thank you very much. And thank you, Tom. Go to Tom. Wait, what is it again?
It's TomDell, TomDell.com.
And he has a great website. And, of course, we'll have that on our website and on our Facebook fan page. So thanks again, everybody. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.